Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 29th day of June 2020. And I'm thrilled to have back as one of my favorite returning guests, Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. And we are going to be addressing the shaking of the Islamic world by top Muslim scholars admitting the Quran contains textual variants. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Tony Costa.
Well, Chris, it's such a pleasure to be back with you again.
Praise God. Well, for the sake of those who have not yet heard you on the show or elsewhere and don't know anything about Toronto Baptist Seminary, why don't you tell our listeners about this grand old cemetery? I just said cemetery. Yes. Did you hear that? I'm sorry.
Yes, seminary. Yes. Well, That's okay, because a lot of seminaries are becoming cemeteries.
Yeah, yes, that was completely accidental.
Yeah, I don't think that was a Freudian slip, but I think it was very true in many ways. But Toronto Baptist Seminary is a seminary that is Reformed Baptist in its confession, and it was started by Dr. T.T. Shields, who was the pastor of the Jarvis Street Baptist Church in Toronto. And he started it in the early 30s, I believe it was. And our motto is Kata Christon, according to Christ. And we have been training men for the ministry for several decades now, and also training men and women as missionaries. And we have also taught our men and women also to become scholars. A lot of them have moved on into doctoral studies and in other universities, and are now serving as some of them are serving as deans of various seminaries, and others have gone on to teach and publish theological works.
Praise God. Well, if anybody wants to do some homework and find out more about Toronto Baptist Seminary, you can go to tbs.edu, tbs.edu. And before we get involved in the main theme today, which is a really fascinating and exciting theme, because for quite a long time, as you well know, Muslims have been making use of apostate Christians, former Christians, and liberals to call into question the reliability of the New Testament due to textual variants and other things, but possibly primarily textual variants. They've made a somewhat of a hero of Bart Ehrman, the agnostic textual critic who was an evangelical before going into apostasy. But now the tables have turned, and I'm fascinated to hear more about that. But before that, I know that you have a couple of things going on that our audience should know about. They involve cultural Marxism and other things. Why don't you tell our listeners what you've got working on the fire there.
Well, thank you, Chris, for that. Starting this Sunday, July the 5th, Sunday evening, for 8 Sundays in a row, I'm teaching an online course on a Christian response to social justice, which would include cultural Marxism and so-called progressivism. And it is not a credit. It's not a credit course. That is to say, it is not. There's no reading or assigned books, or no students have to fulfill any course requirements. This is simply educational to expand one's knowledge on this very, very dangerous ideology that is pervading our governments, both in Canada and the United States particularly, and in the West in general, and also our universities, our colleges that are succumbing to this very dangerous anti-God, anti-Christ ideology. And so starting this Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time until 9:30 p.m., I will be beginning a course on a Christian response to social justice. Anyone who's interested, they just have to go to Facebook, go to Tony Costa Facebook, and you can't miss it. The banner has a picture of a lion. It says Lion of Judah. And there's information there on how to register for the course. It's only $99 Canadian, which if you're an American, it's a deal because the American dollar has been soaring while the Canadian dollar has been plummeting. So the exchange rate will be quite affordable and would be worth it. The other thing I was just going to mention, Chris, I do have a book coming out. It's already, it is basically in the process of going to the publishers, but I have a book coming out in 2021, hopefully early, in the early part of the year, the new year, and it is on the earliest Christian creeds and hymns. And so it goes back into the New Testament and looks at the earliest creeds that the earliest Christians confessed and some of the hymns that are in the New Testament text that scholars have been able to identify and extract. And so and the whole point of this book is to show that from the earliest times, Christians believed very strongly in the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, but also there's a very strong emphasis on the deity of Christ, which, of course, is denied by Islam, which we'll be discussing today, and denied by the cults and world religions and liberal scholarship in general. So that's what's on the horizon right now, Chris.
Now that isn't that your doctoral dissertation theme?
My doctoral dissertation was actually on the definition of worship in the Pauline letters, and also the worship of God, and also the worship practices of the early Christian community. So it's related to my doctoral dissertation, my doctoral work, but it's really an expansion of a work. It was actually something I was doing when I was studying for my master's degree at the University of Toronto, and so it's something I've been wanting to write on for quite a while, and I'm thankful that I've been able to get it done.
Great. Well, when you get some copies of that book over to us, we'll interview you on that next.
Sure.
And let me give our listeners our email address right now. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and as always, please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter, and, you know, it might be that you are a Muslim and you are secretly investigating the claims of Christianity, or it could be a number of things why you would remain anonymous. But if it's just a general question on theology, please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence. Well, first of all, tell us the background about these top Muslim scholars, and I believe that there are two of them specifically that have been causing a great stir as of late. Tell us about
that. Yes. Well, the first one is Dr. Yasser Qadhi, Qadhi. You may remember him. He was the gentleman who was having that dialogue with our common friend, Dr. James White. And Dr. Kadi has, in an interview he had with a Muslim apologist in the United Kingdom by the name of Muhammad Hijab, there was a internet or online interview that he had where he was being asked about the text of the Quran and the so-called preservation of the Quran. And then what Dr. Kadi did was he talked about his years at Yale University. When he was studying at Yale, he said that his faith was shaken because Western academia was willing to probe questions that Muslims in general will not entertain when it comes to the textual history of the Quran and its transmission. And what Dr. Kadi did was he openly admitted that Western scholars are quoting Islamic sources to show that the Quran has had difficulty in terms of textual variations in its text, and that, in his own words, he said, the standard narrative that Muslims are always presenting, he says, the standard narrative has holes in it, and that's a direct quote. And he goes on to say that these issues should never be discussed among Muslims, this should only be discussed among learned scholars and so forth and so on. And when this went viral, Muhammad Hijab tried to delete that portion of the video because a lot of Muslims began to accuse Dr. Kadi of being an apostate, becoming a heretic in denying the preservation of the Quran. Right now, Dr. Kadi has gone on damage control mode. He's actually backpedaling from what he said. And I've been on with David Wood on a couple of his shows on Acts 17 Apologetics addressing this, as has Dr. Jay Smith as well and others who specialize in Islam. And Dr. Kadi now is beginning to backpedal because he's getting a lot of heat from the Muslim community and apologists who are basically saying that finally we have a Muslim scholar here who's admitting what we have always known for decades. In fact, we've known this for a very, very long time. And so he openly admits, Dr. Kadi openly admits that there is problems with the textual transmission of the Quran. He's familiar with the textual variants in the Quran. And so that's one particular scholar. The other one is actually a good friend of mine, Dr. Shabir Ali. He's also from Toronto, and he and I go back right back to the early 90s, where I first debated him in 1992. And Dr. Ali, even back then, in private, would when I say private, I don't mean it was confidential that I couldn't share this, but in person-to-person conversation, he openly admitted to me that, yeah, there are variants in the Quran, and they're very much like the variants we have in the Bible, and they don't affect any cardinal teaching of Islam or practice and so forth. But he never said that publicly until recently. And I think that's because due to the Internet and access on the web, Muslims are beginning to realize that what they've been told by their Muslim apologists and teachers simply is not true, that the Quran does have the same textual problems that we see in the transmission of the biblical text, both the Old and the New Testament, which scholars, Christians, have always acknowledged, at least for 400 years, since textual criticism has been such a huge move in academia against the Bible. Christians have always acknowledged textual variation in the transmission of the manuscripts. So Dr. Ali came out with a series of videos where he openly admitted that, yes, there are differences in the Quran. There are differences in the text of the Quran. And I think he had to do that because he knows that this is something that Muslim apologists cannot hide anymore. 30 years ago, they could do that because no one had access to the web. But now that we have all these Islamic texts like the Hadith and the Tafsir, we have various scholarly articles online now, you really can't hide this anymore. And so these two scholars in particular are highly respected in the Muslim community. And for them to come out and admit that, I think we commend them for it. But then Dr. Kadi started to refer to Christian apologists as Islamophobes because they were trying to twist his words and so forth. But if you listen to the video, you will notice we didn't do anything of the sort. We simply quoted what he said, and he made it very clear that this is an issue that should not be discussed among Muslims, but should only be discussed among learned people.
Now, Yasser Qadhi, and correct me if I'm wrong, has he not already before this been viewed by the more militant Muslim, if you, for lack of a better term, the more strict, the more fundamentalist? Haven't those types of Muslims already begun to view Yasser Qadhi as somewhat of a liberal within their ranks?
Well, yes, some of them have, not all, but some of them have, because he was educated at a Western university at Yale, and because Qadhi takes, let's just say, a balanced approach to things. He does have an academic hat as well, and because of that, some of these Muslims believe that he's been influenced by Western academia, and therefore some of them will find him to be, let's just say, they would charge him with being a little too compromising. But yes, that is true. Some of them do view him that way.
Now, does he not also believe, which is unheard of in Islam, that Jesus Christ actually died on the cross?
Yes, I think he shares something similar to Shabir Ali. It's interesting that it's these two that have really come out right now with this, but I don't think he would have an issue with that.
Ali. I misspoke when I went to Yasser Qadhi.
Okay. I think Yasser Qadhi wouldn't have a problem with that view because he understands that there have been differences of opinion, not by the majority of Muslims, but some Muslims have raised the suggestion that Jesus very well may have been killed by crucifixion, and that wouldn't violate anything Islamic necessarily. But what Shabir does is, Shabir has taken the view that is held by the Ahmadiyya, which are a sect in Islam that originates from 19th century India, and they hold the swoon theory that Jesus was crucified, placed on the cross, but Jesus did not die on the cross. He simply swooned and then later revived in the tomb and later ascended into heaven. And so Shabir's view he's been criticized for that, but Shabir actually holds that Jesus was actually put on the cross, crucified, but he actually did not expire on the cross.
Okay.
He did not die on the cross.
Okay. And yes, the Ahmadi Muslims, I became very familiar with them when I started to conduct Muslim debates with Dr. James R. White, our mutual friend. And quite a number of the Ahmadi community came out to those. And one imam took me out to lunch at an Indian restaurant, although it was Muslim-owned. And was interesting to find out more about this sect. I know that they are very persecuted by other Muslims all over the world.
Yeah, they are.
And a Muslim that David Wood actually led to Christ in college, who has become a very well known in his own right, working with Ravi Zacharias before he went home to be with the Lord after perishing from cancer.
That's Nabil Qureshi.
Yes, he was from that community as well, the Ahmadi.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now, first of all, tell us about what are textual variants, just so our uninformed listener might get a better understanding of that. And as I opened up the show, it is kind of interesting how Muslims for years have been pointing to the unreliability of the New Testament because of textual variants, but now they have to answer charges of their own, I guess.
Yes. Well, a textual variant is basically, in order to understand this, we need to understand that when Paul, for example, wrote his letter to the Galatians, that first writing, many scholars get to that, is the autograph, which means the original actual writing of the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the Galatians. Now, we don't have any of the surviving texts of Paul or the apostles or even the gospel accounts. We don't have the original gospel of Matthew in our hands that Matthew himself penned. What we have are copies, and one of the reasons is because these documents were written in papyrus, which was very fragile, and it was something that was not very durable in terms of substance. It would crack and break apart, and that's why we have so many of them in fragmentary portions. But what people would do, what Christians would do, is they would make copies. They would copy what Paul wrote to the Galatians, and then someone else would come along and copy it. And what happens is, because the original writers of Scripture were the only ones who were truly inerrant, because they were inspired by the Holy Spirit, nowhere does Scripture guarantee that later fallible copiers would be infallible. Only the original writers were infallible in what they wrote. And so scribes who come along much later, of course, don't have that inspiration or inerrancy that the original writers had. And so they try to preserve the text to the best of their ability, but because we're fallible creatures, sometimes we can mistake a word or a letter for another letter, and so that introduces variance into the text. And that is true of both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and of the Quran. And so what happens over time is these variants begin to multiply, and you end up with thousands of them. Now, the wonderful thing about having such a large cache of manuscripts, Bruce Metzger once remarked that we are embarrassed by the wealth of manuscript tradition we have. We have so many manuscripts that we are able to weed out any errors or scribal variants or textual variants, different writings or different words that have crept into the text because of, again, missing a word or confusing one word for another. So we're able to reconstruct the original text from the multiple manuscripts we have. So usually an example I give, Chris, is that of the, for example, the Declaration of Independence, the original Declaration of Independence written by the Founding Fathers. Let's assume that, just for the sake of argument, that that original document was destroyed in a fire. The building came down and burned the original Declaration of Independence. Well, would it be lost forever? Would we be able to recover it? And of course we would, because we have hundreds of thousands of copies of the Declaration of Independence. And even if some of those copies, the first ones which were copied by hand, even if some of them had errors, or even the printed editions, if they had some errors, we would be able to weed out those errors because we have hundreds of thousands of copies of the Declaration of Independence. So that's how scholars work with the New Testament. We are able to look at the manuscripts in Greek, and then, of course, Latin, and then Sahidic, Ethiopic, and Slavonic, and so forth. And what scholars are able to do is they're able to discern where these variants come in, how they came in. And so we have been able to basically go back and reconstruct the original text. Think of it like a puzzle piece. Let's say a puzzle piece of 1,000 pieces, but we have 1,200 pieces. The whole work of scholarship is to weed out those 200 extra pieces that don't fit. And we're able to reconstruct that original. And the same thing applies to the Quran. So here's a modern-day example, Chris. Maybe our hearers can maybe understand it this way. When an author writes a book and sends it off for publication, it's not unusual for reviewers to catch editorial mistakes or maybe a sentence is missing and so forth. And so several other editors will come along and produce a second edition or even a third edition. And so a textual variant is simply a different reading that has crept into the text by mistake. Sometimes there are cases where it is intentional in the sense that a scribe may find something to be a little off and they try to clarify it, they simplify it, they smooth it. Some of them try to harmonize texts. And so if you look at the King James Version, you compare the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 and Luke 11, you will notice that they're virtually the same in the King James Version. And that's because the later scribes harmonized Luke's shorter version of the Lord's Prayer with the standard version we find in Matthew, which is the one you and I, most people, are familiar with. And so this is known as harmonization. And so when we go to the earliest texts, the earliest manuscripts we have, this is why scholars are always interested in the earliest documents, because the earlier the document, the closer you are to the time of composition. So while Christians have acknowledged this, Chris, for at least 400 years, since the 1600s when academia started chipping away at the Bible, Muslims have been using the same mantra over and over and over again, that the Quran is preserved right down to the letter, word for word, no changes since the time it was revealed to Muhammad in the 7th century in Arabia. And unlike you Christians, you guys don't even know how Mark ends the gospel. You have the longer ending of Mark. You got the story of this woman caught in adultery in John 7, 53 to 8:11. But unlike your books, which have been corrupted, our Quran is sent down from God. He has preserved it to this day. That's the standard narrative, Chris, that Muslim apologists have been using. But the evidence, both within Islamic sources and, of course, modern-day scholarship, does not support their narrative. Their narrative is really a conjectural myth that they have created to basically bash the Bible and to promote Islam as triumphant and superior to Christianity, and to promote the Quran as the more reliable text. Not very different from what Mormonism does. Joseph Smith claimed that the Book of Mormon was the most correct book ever written, even though it was corrected 3,700 times. But Joseph Smith argued that the Book of Mormon explained the Bible, and that the Bible could not be properly understood unless it was read through the lenses of Mormon scripture.
And can you tell us, well, in fact, before you do, I'm going to go to our first break right now. But what I'd like you to do when we return is to tell us what some of these textual variants are, and are they serious enough to call into question any significant teachings in the Quran, unlike the Bible, from what I understand, in spite of the many textual variants there are, none of them call into question a serious teaching, especially salvific or a pillar of the faith of any kind. But we're going to go back to that question when we return from the first break. And if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of their own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessialin 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
We
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Pettifuco and Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco and Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawsuit, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, when you're buying gifts for any reason, whether they be graduation gifts, back-to-school gifts, or whether they be for birthdays, wedding anniversaries, bereavement gifts, retirement gifts, and the list goes on and on. Please make your very first stop solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, the website of Solid Ground Christian Books, and purchase as many books from them as you can, because Solid Ground Christian Books is a primary sponsor of this program. Without them, we would likely not exist, barring a miracle of God. So we urge you to be a frequent and generous customer with them, not only because they sponsor the show, but because they happen to be the publisher of the finest in Christian literature from the past and the present. So go to solid-ground-books.com. Even when you're buying gifts for your lost loved ones, buying a book from Solid Ground Christian Books for them might be used to lead them to Christ, if God chooses to have mercy. So remember, solid-ground-books.com. Keep that website on your refrigerator or on your computer screen or anywhere you can post a post-it note or some other kind of a reminder about that website. And always tell Mike Adosh and the folks at Solid Ground Christian Books that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with my guest, Dr. Tony Costa, and he is professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. We are talking about the shaking of the Islamic world by top Muslim scholars admitting the Quran contains textual variants. And our email address, if you have a question, is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And if you could, Tony, could you go through some of these textual variants and let us know if they actually significantly challenge the meaning of any text of the Quran that Quranically faithful Muslims would hold today?
Yeah, the textual variants in the Quran are not detrimental to any major doctrine of Islam or any of their practices. And so much like the variants that we find in the New Testament, none of them, and this again has been acknowledged by many liberal scholars, including Bart Ehrman, none of these variants affect or change or challenge any cardinal doctrine of the Christian faith.
It takes a while to get Bart Ehrman to admit that, though.
Yes, it does. It does. And he's openly admitted that. One of the funniest videos I've ever seen, Chris, was when a Muslim was interviewing Bart Ehrman. I think it was in a cafe somewhere. And they were trying to get Bart Ehrman to basically dismiss the Christian doctrine of the Trinity. And Bart Ehrman ended up defending the doctrine of the Trinity based on the New Testament text. It was one of the funniest videos I've ever seen. And so Bart Ehrman, his whole point was, look, yes, we do have all these variants, but none of these variants affect the teachings practices of Christianity. So if you notice, Chris, it sounds vaguely familiar. This is exactly what Christians have been saying for centuries. And our Muslim friends, who for the longest time were saying, no, we don't have variants, it's been preserved down to the letter, lo and behold, they have the very same textual problems that we have in the Bible. And I've been saying this, Chris, for 30 years or so since I began my ministry of outreach to Muslims, I've been saying this in my debates, I've been challenging them on this, using their own sources to show that this was the case. And it's only now, with this coming out of both Yasser Qadhi and Shabir Ali, that Muslims are not taking this very seriously. But the point is that I've always known this to be the case, Chris. But this alarms me, because what it shows is that there's an element of deception here. When Muslims who know that there are variants in the text and yet keep parroting the same narrative over and over and over again, what else could you call that but deception? You're hiding the truth from your people. Just as in the same way with biblical textual criticism, Chris, the variants that we find in the Quran do not affect any cardinal teaching of Islam.
But I'm assuming that since the stricter Muslims have been denying any variants for centuries, and in fact really not welcoming any investigation into that at all, I'm assuming that that isn't good enough for them. They still view this, especially since they've used it as a primary apologetic tool to, in their minds, undermine the integrity of the New Testament. They must think it still nonetheless does damage to their integrity.
Yes, it does. And in fact, this is leading to a mass exodus of Muslims out of Islam. A lot of Muslims have. Yes. David Wood has mentioned this many times on his videos, that a lot of Muslims who've been looking into this have had their faith challenged and rocked. And it's not because there's an issue with textual variants as far as a Christian Jewish perspective goes, but it's just that for all their lives they've been told over and over and over again that the Quran is preserved. It's preserved in the heavenly tablets. So in order to understand this, we need to understand that the Quran itself claims that its contents were preserved in a heavenly tablet before they were sent down to Muhammad. And so the idea here is that there is this original template in heaven of the Quran, all of the words in the Quran, and that what the Muslims hold today in their hands is simply a copy of that template in heaven, which is unchangeable. And the Quran does say in chapter 15, verse 9, Allah says that we have sent down the Quran and we will certainly be its guardian. And so Muslims have taken that to mean that God himself or Allah will guard the Quran from corruption. And when anything is brought forward that challenges this idea, a lot of Muslims, like the more fundamentalist type, will retreat and go into the defense mode and say, no, there's no changes in the Quran. But here's the rub, Chris. The Islamic sources themselves, when you look at, for example, the Hadith, which is the record of the sayings and deeds of Muhammad, the writers of the Hadith openly admit to us that large portions of the Quran have gone missing. They tell us, for example, that when Muhammad died, his youngest wife, his child bride actually, Aisha, she tells us that she had the verses of stoning that were revealed to Muhammad, stoning for adultery, the verses of stoning and breastfeeding adults. We can get into that in a different time. But these verses are no longer in the Quran, because Aisha said that a goat or a sheep came and actually ate the manuscript that it was written on. And so some of these verses are not in the Quran today. Chapter 2 of the Quran was a hugely massive chapter. Hundreds of verses have gone missing from there. Hundreds of verses have gone missing from chapter 33 of the Quran. And in fact, we are told in the Hadith that many of the people who memorized the Quran by heart, many of them had died in battle, and many of those verses of the Quran died with them. So the Islamic sources themselves tell us that we don't have this static Quran, we don't have this preserved text, never changed, etc. This seems to have arisen, Chris, I think, when Muslims started interacting with Christians and trying to seek their conversion. And so the mantra of the preserved Quran just simply kept being repeated over and over and over again.
And we do have a listener question for you. We have Johnny in Queens, New York. And Johnny says, I recall the Quran and the Bible debate between Dr. James R. White and Imam Shamsi Ali in my neighborhood in 2009. Yes, and I remember it very well since I organized it. Dr. White gave a similar presentation of textual variants in the Quran. The Muslim audience was pretty dumbfounded, and the claims were totally unchallenged by Ali. Do these current admissions by scholars pose genuine doubts to the divine origin of the Quran in the minds of Muslims? Can this new information be used practically by Christian apologists in their engagements with them? Well, he kind of, I guess, wrote that before he heard a lot of what you had to say. But obviously, and I'm kind of placed in an awkward position, as you are, it's posing doubt when it need not pose doubt as far as the textual variants are concerned. The real reason,
right,
the real
right.
reason that they should doubt is the lie that they've been told that they're, that the word for word preservation of the original Quran has been a miracle that is carried on through this day, and that it has not changed in one way.
Right, right, and he's absolutely right. Our questioner is absolutely right that we are not saying that, well, look, there's textual variants in the Quran, therefore the Quran is wrong. That would be, of course, that would be false, because just like the Bible has textual variants in it as well. It doesn't necessarily follow that because the Bible has textual variants, therefore the Bible is wrong. So we're not making an argument that the Quran, therefore, is not the Word of God. That's another category altogether. What we are saying is that the consistent narrative that the Muslims have been fed by their leaders is wrong, that they've been lied to virtually. And what we're saying is, look, we're in the same boat. We have acknowledged these textual variants. Now, as you know, Chris, there are some, you know, there are some fringes, even in Christendom, that are very much like these fundamentalist Muslims, the King James only folks, for example. They're very similar, that there are no variants in the Bible, and the King James Version is the only version, and that, you know, if the King James was good enough for the Apostle Paul, it's good enough for me. And so they take that approach, very much like these Muslim fundamentalists do, and they're not open to criticism.
And then, unfortunately for them, if they are honest with the evidence, they will eventually be confronted by one of their knowledgeable friends that, hey, look, you don't even have the same exact word-for-word translation in the 1611 King James Bible. You have different
right.
versions of the 1611 Bible.
Right, and the original one had the Apocrypha as well. So what we're saying here, Chris, is that we're not using that textual argument as an argument against the Quran being the Word of God. That's a different question, and those will require different approaches and tools. But what we're saying is our textual transmission is the same, whether we're talking about the Bible or the Quran.
Okay, we got to go to our midway break right now. This is the longer than normal break that we need to have on the show because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, who airs this program twice a day in morning drive and in the evening in a pre-recorded format, they are required by the FCC to localize Iron Sharpened Zion Radio to Lake City, Florida, with public service announcements and other things. So while they air those local announcements, we simultaneously are going to be airing globally heard commercials. So I'm asking you to use this time wisely. Please write down as much of the information as you can provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them. And also write down questions for Tony Costa. It could be on any question in regard to Islam. He is the professor of Islam, after all, at Toronto Baptist Seminary. Or any question about the Quran. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be back with Dr. Tony Costa after these messages from our sponsors.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the entire program with about an hour to go, a little less than an hour, is Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary. And our topic today is the shaking of the Islamic world by top Muslim scholars admitting the Quran contains textual variants. Before we return to our discussion with Dr. Costa, we just have a couple of important announcements to make. First of all, tomorrow, I have been waiting a long time for tomorrow because I have never, as much as I have very greatly admired this brother, I have never interviewed him on this program until tomorrow, and that is Erwin Lutzer. And we're going to be interviewing Erwin Lutzer during the first hour on his book, When a Nation Forgets God, Seven Lessons We Must Learn from Nazi Germany. And Erwin, I can remember a number of years ago when Dr. James R. White wrote The Potter's Freedom, which was a rebuttal to Norman Geisler's book, Chosen But Free. Dr. Geisler wrote an anti-Calvinist book, an attempt at a refutation. And Dr. White wrote the refutation of Dr. Geisler's book. I remember Erwin Lutzer, how eagerly he wanted to have his name attached to The Potter's Freedom with an endorsement. And I was working for Calvary Press Publishing at the time, part-time, and one of my duties was getting commendations and endorsements, and we were able to get Erwin's commendation squeezed in right before going to print. So I look forward to reminiscing about that with him tomorrow, and especially about talking about When a Nation Forgets God, Seven Lessons We Must Learn from Nazi Germany. The second hour of the program, my dear friend Keith Foskey returns to the program. He is the pastor of Sovereign Grace Family Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and he is going to be addressing a Christian's defense of using violence when protecting the innocent, and that is especially arisen as a timely topic during the rioting that we have seen going on and the actual murders taking place during some of these riots that have been spawned by Black Lives Matter. And it's a pretty hairy world out there. So I think Pastor Keith Foskey, who happens to be an expert in several martial arts with the highest belts they offer under his belt, and I think that he will make a fascinating guest to discuss that. He's already discussed similar topics on the show in the past, but it's been a while since we've had Pastor Keith on. I'm looking forward to his return. Also, folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear, you look forward to the guests and the topics that very often are not heard anywhere else. You look forward to sharing the free downloadable MP3s of the show with your family, friends, and loved ones. You look forward to winning free books and Bibles that we frequently give away when we interview authors. Please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, a physical address will appear on the screen where you can mail that book when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Please never siphon money away from your regular giving to your own church, where you are accustomed to give them a certain amount. Please don't siphon money away from that amount in order to give to us, especially since your church may have been hit hard during the pandemic hysteria that we've all witnessed globally. So don't do that, and don't put your own family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God, and providing for this radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you are financially blessed enough, to obey those two commands, and you have extra money because you haven't been going to your favorite sporting events, you haven't been going out fine dining, you haven't been going to movies and theatrical performances and concerts and Bible conferences and all kinds of things, well, please use some of that money in order to help us remain on the air. It would mean a lot to us. In fact, I want to thank also those of you who have been faithfully and generously giving throughout the hysteria from the pandemic, because we would likely not have existed without your financial help. We had two of our largest sponsors had to part company for a while and put their giving to us on a hiatus. And I'm hoping it's just temporary, but their businesses were hit so hard by the coronavirus hysteria that they had to, at least for now, put a hold on their giving. So I'm so thankful that so many of you came through, especially some wonderful woman in Austin, Texas, who I have no idea who she is, but she broke all donation records with her gift to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please help us, like some other folks have already been doing, please help us make up for the loss of the two largest clients that we had that had to back out of sponsoring the show due to their own financial problems that arose from the pandemic hysteria. Also, folks, if you want to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that's compatible with what we believe. Then send me that email, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Put advertising in the subject line. And also, if you are having a hard time finding a church to join, no matter where on earth you live, I have helped many people in this audience find churches all over the globe that they have either joined and become members at, or they have visited these churches on vacation, or they have referred them to loved ones who need churches. But whatever the case may be, if you need a church, I may be able to help you, because I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet. Send an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Dr. Tony Costa. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And Dr. Costa, before I go to any listener questions, I wanted to ask you if there have been moderate to liberal Muslims out there for quite a long time. Why would these two scholars and them becoming public with the textual variants in the Quran, why would this be different in the way that it seems to have rattled so many Muslims, that it's even causing an exodus, as you said, of people leaving Islam?
Yeah, I think it has to do with the fact that many of these imams and these scholars who are also imams leading mosques and so forth, are now being approached by their members of the mosque, their Muslim members, because they don't listen to the liberals because they've been told not to listen to liberal scholarship. But when there are Christian apologists out there, like myself and David Wood and others, who are reaching out to Muslims as a mission field, and they start watching these videos, then what happens is they're listening to conservative Christians putting out these points and challenging the narrative. And so what it has done is it has challenged many of these conservative Muslim leaders and scholars. They're realizing that if they don't address this, they're going to start losing members, because a lot of these Muslims become very dissuaded. They become very confused, and they begin to doubt Islam. And so I think they are basically trying to save the flock, as it were, from apostatizing. And they're realizing that there's really nowhere to hide anymore. So it's not that liberal scholars haven't been out there saying this. They have. But most Muslims don't pay attention to them, because they're taught that they're just unbelievers and infidels and so forth. But when they hear Christians who are conservatives and who hold to the Bible as God's word, and they hold to the doctrines of grace or the doctrines of Scripture and so forth, challenging them, then they realize that, you know, we got to do something about this. And so I think that's why Dr. Qadi and Dr. Shabir Ali have come out and have been addressing these issues. In fact, Dr. Ali is doing a series on this. I think it's because members within their faith community are now beginning to approach them and say, okay, what's going on? You know, so-and-so is saying this, and when I checked out the references they pointed to in the hadith or the tafsir, I went there, and it's exactly what they said. So I think it's an opportunity for them to basically, in a sense, save face from the narrative they've been exploiting them with. And I think it's their way to say, okay, we've got to deal with this before it gets out of hand.
Now, what are some of these variants specifically? What are the subject
matter? Well, there's many of them, Chris, and I'll just give a few examples. So, for example, in 1972, there was a famous manuscript of the Quran that was discovered in the mosque of Sana'a in Yemen, and they found this manuscript of the Quran. And what they discovered was that the manuscript called the Sana manuscript, anyone can look that up, it's all available online. The Sana manuscript was very interesting because it was what's called a palimpsest. Now, a palimpsest is simply the scholarly word for a manuscript that has been erased or scrubbed off. They've scrubbed off the lower text and written over it. And so what scholars have been able to do with ultraviolet light is they've been able to detect the lower text, the text that was erased, and they've been able to look at it, and what they have found is that the lower text does not conform to the reading of the upper text, that is the text that was written on top or over the erased text. What they noticed, Chris, is that while the Quran today is arranged in 114 chapters, from the longest chapter down to the shortest, what they found in this manuscript was that the order of the chapters was not like that of the standard Quran we have today. And what they also found out was that the reading that was erased does not conform to the standard reading of the Quran today. Now, just to kind of fill in the holes here, the standard text of the Quran that Muslims today use, which was standardized in 1924 in Cairo, Egypt, is known as the Hafs edition, H-A-F-S, the Hafs edition. 95% of Muslims in the world read that standard text. However, the other 5% are other Arabic texts of the Quran. Another famous one is called the Warsh, W-A-R-S-H, which is common in Muslim countries in Western Africa. And then, of course, there are others as well. So a quick example of what we're talking about here is that there was a purge that took place about 20 to 40 years after Muhammad's death. There was a purge that took place in the Islamic Empire, because readings in the Islamic Empire, readings of the Quran began to conflict with one another. And so the leader of the Islamic community at the time, they're called caliphs, the caliph Uthman ordered a standardized text of the Quran to be put together, and then he ordered that all other Qurans were to be collected and burned. Now, when people start burning things when they start shredding paper and so forth, you know that already your suspicions should be raised. Why are you destroying something that you don't want people to see? Well, obviously you're trying to hide something. Well, this was the first purge. The second purge took place later in the 8th century under another leader by the name of Al-Hajjaj. He standardized the Quran again and destroyed all other copies of the Quran. Then in 1924, in Cairo, Egypt, the Islamic schools in Egypt began to realize that their students coming from abroad in various parts of the world were reciting the Quran differently than what they were accustomed to. And so the government of Egypt decided, or at least Al-Azhar University, the leading Islamic university in the world, decided to put out just the standardized text called the Hafs text. And what they did was they took all the other Qurans and they submerged them, they flooded them in the Nile River. So why are they doing all this? Well, we can see what's going on here, Chris. Whenever you have to destroy manuscripts or other documents, it's because they're trying to hide something. What they're trying to hide is the fact that there were real textual differences in the Islamic text. I'm going to give you an example here. So, for example, in the Quran that was found in Sana'a in 1972, the lower text read very differently from the standard text. So here's an example. This is from chapter 9, verse 80 of the Quran. And I'm going to quote it to you. This is the standard text as it reads today. It says, ask, this is talking about the enemies of Muhammad, those who are fighting against him. Ask forgiveness for them, or do not ask forgiveness for them. If you should ask forgiveness for them 70 times, never will Allah forgive them. That is because they disbelieved in Allah and his messenger. That's the standard text. That even if you were to ask 70 times for forgiveness, from Allah to your enemies, Allah would not grant that. Now, that manuscript that was discovered in Sana'a in 1972, the lower text reads this way, ask forgiveness for them, or do not ask forgiveness for them. If you should ask forgiveness for them, never will Allah forgive them. That is because they disbelieved in Allah and his messenger. So what's missing there is the reference to the 70 times.
Which would have revealed the author having some familiarity with the New Testament.
Correct, absolutely. You've read my mind there, Chris, because if you know in Matthew 18, verses 21 to 22, and we're told Simon Peter comes to Jesus and says, how often should I forgive my brother? Shall I just forgive him seven times? And the Lord says, no, not seven times, it's 70 times seven. And so absolutely, it shows some familiarity with the saying of Jesus about how often we should forgive. So what is interesting here, Chris, is that in the older reading, there was no reference to asking forgiveness of your enemies. It just says, Allah will not forgive them, don't ask for forgiveness. But the later text, the Hafs reading, has the word 70 in there. You ought to ask if you were to ask forgiveness 70 times for them, never would it be given. So here's another example, Chris, of a textual variant. So this is from, this comes from Quran chapter 2, and verse 125, and it says there, and mention when we made the house, this is talking about the Kaaba in Mecca, a place of return for the people and a place of security. And then it says, and take, O believers, from the standing place of Abraham, a place of prayer. Well, in another Quranic text called the Worst Text, it says, and mention we made the house a place of return for the people, a place of security, and they, O believers, have taken from the standing place of Abraham a place of prayer. So here you have a difference in where he tells the Muslims to take this stand here, that is, in praying towards the Kaaba. In the other edition, or the other text of the Quran, from the same passage, it says, and they, O believers, have taken. So here's the issue, Chris. The Muslims will tell you that the Quran even challenges us that if you can find any mistakes in the text of the Quran, then the jig is up. Allah said he was going to guard the Quran from corruption. He was going to be its guardian. But even one difference in the text, one different word in the text, Chris, collapses the whole house of cards. Because what we've been told is that if you can show one mistake, just one, not several, but just one, then the whole thing comes down. So this is just, I just gave you two examples here, Chris, of hundreds of different variants that we find in the Quranic manuscripts.
Great. We have Arnie from Perry County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, among these large number of Muslims who have left Islam, are any scholars?
Well, we did have the late Nabil Qureshi. He was a medical doctor. He had a degree in medicine, and he was just working on his PhD at Oxford until, of course, he was diagnosed with cancer. There, I would consider, for example, Dr. James White a scholar. He didn't do his dissertation on Islam as per se, but he's very well versed in the area. He obviously is not a convert. I can think of Abdul Murray, who is now the national director of RZIM. Since the passing of Dr. Ravi Zacharias, Abdu has taken the reins there. And he is a former Muslim. He's a Shia. He was formerly a Shia Muslim. My good friend in the United Kingdom, Dr. Sam Solomon, was a former Muslim who was a Sharia specialist for 15 years. He was, while a Muslim, he was a Sharia specialist who specialized in the area of Islamic jurisprudence, and he's a convert to Christianity as well. And so these are just a few of many.
Well, the listener may have been referring to the exodus of Muslims out of Islam as a result of these two Muslim scholars.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, yes. Sorry, I probably misunderstood there. From what I've been reading from the comment sections on various videos that have exposed this particular area, and Twitter as well, there are a lot of Muslims who are questioning their faith, and I don't have a number for you, but what I can detect from the comments is that a lot of Muslims are beginning to doubt the so-called perfect preservation of the Quran. And you see, this is the thing, Chris. I'm thankful to God that you and I don't have to be here today trying to defend a text that has basically has remained unchanged. There is no variance. It's a word for word preservation. We're not saying that the original text of the Bible has not been reconstructed or can't be reconstructed. But what we're saying is we're not using this same type of argumentation that our Muslim friends are using. And the problem with it is this. Islam is like a three-legged stool. You've got the Quran, you've got Muhammad, and you have Allah. If you could show that any three of these is questionable or spurious or false, just like a three-legged stool, if one leg is removed, the whole stool comes down. And so what I'm saying is the Muslims have been raised to believe that Allah is God. There is no other God but Allah. Muhammad is the perfect human being who ever lived, the messenger, the prophet of Allah, and that the Quran is the preserved word of God. And so when one of those legs go, whether it's for Nabil Qureshi, it was the person of Muhammad, the questionable character of Muhammad that collapsed his faith in Islam. For others, it is the demonstration that the Quran is not this preserved text that Muslims make it out to be. And so I think that once you've cracked the hope that Muslims had, or you've cracked their confidence in this preserved text, in their mind, it's virtually the same as saying Muhammad was not the prophet of God, and that Allah, maybe Allah is not the true God after all.
We have Harrison in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, who wants to know what scholars would you love to debate from Islam that you have not yet had the opportunity to had an encounter with?
There are some scholars in Islam that I would love to debate. I mean, the leading scholar in Islam was recognized for a long time to be Dr. Shabir Ali, and I've had about 10-plus debates with him already. In terms of others, I wouldn't mind debating Dr. Yasir Qadhi. I think that he is he's approachable. I think he's a reasonable man for the most part. So I would probably say Dr. Yasir Qadhi. I cannot honestly think of any others. I mean, I've tried Zakir Naik in India, but unfortunately, unless you're an Indian citizen, the government of India will not allow, for some strange reason, they won't allow Westerners to come into India and debate Indian citizens for some strange reason. But Zakir Naik was another one. But definitely Dr. Yasir Qadhi.
Let's see. We have John in Bangor, Maine, who wants to know, is there any evidence of prominent Jews converting to Islam?
Well, in the history of Islam, there have been recorded Jews who did convert to Islam. They're mentioned in the Hadith as well. As far as I'm concerned now, I know there are some, but I really don't know their names.
I seem to recall, and I couldn't tell you his name. I might be mistaken, but I seem to recall Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries mentioning a Jewish convert to Islam, possibly even an Israeli convert to Islam, who resides in India now, but I could be wrong. I couldn't tell you his name. We have to go to our final break right now, and if you have a question, please send it in as soon as you can. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com, ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. And don't go away, we'll be right back with Dr. Tony Costa right after these messages from our sponsors.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest in buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. But Afuco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Bud Afuco and Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia,
and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, you can call CVBBS toll-free at 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. Only call that number Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Those are the only days and hours where that phone line is manned and there is no voicemail. We are now back with our guest, Dr. Tony Costa. And Dr. Costa, we have a listener, BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, in your opinion, what is the greatest threat against Christianity? And I understand that these threats are very different, but would they be Islam, Roman Catholicism, or leftism?
What is the last one you mentioned, Chris?
Leftism, L-E-F-T-I-S-M.
Oh, right. I think that the greatest threat to the West is both cultural Marxism and Islam, and let me explain why. You'll notice that many of these leftists, and the leftists could be placed in the cultural Marxist camp as well, you'll notice many of these leftists will side with Islamic causes, and that's because the enemy of Islam, as far as Islam is concerned, and the enemy of cultural Marxism or leftism is Judeo-Christianity and also Western democracy. And so both leftism and Islam both oppose democratic governments because they both see governments as governments should be dictatorial. They should not allow for free speech, no freedom of expression, no freedom to criticize, whether it's criticizing the Quran or Muhammad or even criticizing leftist thought. We see that working out right now in both in the United States and in the West, where you would now have a mob mentality. The court of public opinion trumps all truth statements and so forth. And so you will notice that Islam and leftism, they are strange bedfellows, but you know the old saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And so I think we need to understand here that both of these systems are detrimental to the West in the sense of undermining our freedoms. There's no Sharia state in the world that is Sharia is Islamic law that is enforced that allows for women's rights, that doesn't allow for freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to dissent on various views, so forth. Both leftism and Islam will agree on that. So I see those two mainly as the most dangerous threats to Western democracy.
Now, the original question was actually to Christianity, not Western democracy, which Western.
Yeah, I would include Christianity in there because it is through the principles and foundations of Christianity that we have democracy. The idea that the man, the human, is made in the image of God, and that they have rights, they have integral rights, and the whole idea of pursuit of happiness and liberty and so forth is based on the idea that the Creator has endowed His creatures, His image bearers, with those rights. And so that's why I mentioned both Judeo-Christianity and democracy, because they're both interrelated. And so Islam is a huge threat against Christianity. All you have to do is look at what's going on in Africa right now, where Christians are being wiped out by Al-Qaeda and by various Islamic militant groups there, and see what's happening here in the West. Why are churches being burned? Why are there threats to destroy stained glass windows because they depict, for example, a white Jesus? And why is it that this iconoclasm that we see in leftist thinking of undermining Christianity, and mark my words, Chris, it won't be long before they're going to start burning the Bible for mentioning slavery. And so I see both leftism and Islam as both dangerous threats to Christianity, because they both see Christianity as their nemesis.
And of course, you and I believe that although the church may lose numbers due to an enemy, that the church will never be vanquished. The true church,
correct,
that is.
That's right.
Well, I want to make sure that you have time to remind our listeners about your social justice course and anything else you want to say before we go off the air.
Sure. Well, those who are interested in taking the course, it starts this coming Sunday, July the 5th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It runs till 9:30. And so I'll be teaching on a Christian response to social justice, which will include, of course, cultural Marxism and progressivism. We'll discuss various issues like Black Lives Matter, LGBTQ, and so forth, so-called white privilege. And anyone who's interested, they can go to my Facebook. Just go to Tony Costa Facebook. There's information on registration there. It runs for 8 Sunday nights, and it will cover basically all of July and August, and it's $99 Canadian. So all the information is available on my Facebook.
Great. And if you want more information about Toronto Baptist Seminary, you can go to tbs.edu, tbs.edu. And I always have such a great time with you on the program, Dr. Costa. I look forward to not only having you on the show again soon, but I look forward to participating in some kind of a debate or conference out here in the Carlisle, Pennsylvania area again at some point. Every time I've had you involved in something, those who attend are totally blown away and very grateful that they attended.
Thank you, Chris. And it's always a joy to be with you.
You too, brother. And I want everybody listening to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior then you are a sinner. Don't forget to mark your calendar for tomorrow for our interview with Erwin Lutzer during our first hour and Pastor Keith Foskey during our second hour. God bless.